One of the people Democrats hoped would be in the Senate right now is Jason Kander. He's a former Army intelligence officer who served in Afghanistan and served as Missouri's Secretary of State. But he lost the Senate race to Republican Senator Roy Blunt in November. So now he started an organization called Let America Vote. And he joins us from Kansas City. Jason Kander, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
And first of all, what is the goal of Let America Vote?
Well, Let America Vote is about engaging in and winning the public debate over voting rights or voter suppression laws. And for some time now, the Republican Party has made it a central part of their strategy to make it harder to vote if you are in the demographics that are less likely to vote for Republicans. And the way they do that is they tell fictions about voter fraud, the greatest of which, the biggest of which, has been the most recent one, which is the lie told by the president about 3 to 5 million supposedly illegal voters voting in the election. And over time, Democrats have been able to, or proponents of voting rights, have been able to hold back that assault over the last decade plus by going to court and winning most of the time. And now you have Jeff Sessions in charge of the Department of Justice, so it's switching sides in this issue. And you have President Trump appointing judges, and it becomes really important that we be able to also win the public debate, the political argument over the issue, and that's what Let America Vote is here to do.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of what you're talking about, what the Trump administration has been saying about voter fraud in the election. Here's an exchange between the president's senior policy advisor, Stephen Miller, and ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
You can't hold on a second. You just claimed again that there was illegal voting in New Hampshire. People bussed in from the state of Massachusetts. Do you have any evidence
to back
that up?
I'm saying anybody, George, go to New Hampshire, talk to anybody who's worked in politics there for a long time. Everybody's aware of the problem in New Hampshire with respect to
I'm asking you
bringing
as the White House senior hold on a second. I'm asking you as the White House senior policy advisor. The president made a statement saying he was the victim of voter fraud, people being bussed from Massachusetts to New Hampshire.
The president was.
Do you have any evidence?
And he didn't have any evidence there. But a Politico Morning Consult poll this month found that 1 in 4 voters believe that millions of votes were cast illegally in the 2016 election. Why are you losing this battle with the people? At least 1 in 4 Americans believe what the Trump administration has been saying about voter fraud.
Well, it's very hard to win a battle that you're not fighting, and that's what Let America Vote is changing. You know, what you just heard from Stephen Miller is just the sound of a man lying. I mean, it's important that we call this what it is. I mean, you know, a lot of people assign the motivation to President Trump's lie about voter fraud to his deep insecurities about the popular vote and I guess about life in general. But really, it's much deeper than that. And the reason that you have a quarter of the folks out there believing that voter fraud is happening is because they're being told that by people in power, even though it's just a complete lie. And when you have the president of the United States telling that lie on the biggest scale that it's ever been told, the reason that people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell will say, well, we haven't really seen evidence of that, but, you know, I mean, the president has a right to his belief is because it's really helpful to their cause if that gets out there in the ether and if people can start to believe that there's some problem there. When really the only problem that exists for Republicans is that folks who are minorities, who are disabled, who are poor, they're really unlikely to vote for Republicans. And that's a problem for Republicans. And if they can't vote, problem solved.
And worth pointing out, by the way, that those are your views on the word lie. NPR has made a decision at this point anyway not to use that word. And people can go on to NPR.org and hear all about that decision-making process. But do you think that voter ID laws are ever a good idea, Jason Kander?
Well, look, identification requirement of some kind is pretty standard across the country. But what we're talking about is not an identification requirement. And remember, identification doesn't have to be one very specific form of identification. When you are requiring people to get a form of identification that many of them, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, don't need for any purpose in their life other than voting, then that's a poll tax. You know, here in Missouri, where I was the chief election official, the Secretary of State for 4 years, we put out reports, my predecessor put out reports demonstrating that if an extreme photo ID bill like Wisconsin or North Carolina were put into place, then there's about 220,000 Missourians who are legal eligible voters who wouldn't be allowed to vote. These are folks who, when they go into the polling place, the poll workers know them by their first name. They live in their neighborhood. They've been coming in, voting in every election for years. And they would have to take off work, go find documents, pay money to do it, go wait in line at the DMV. And you know, the reason that the Republicans want to push that is not because of voter fraud. I mean, the only kind of voter fraud that a photo ID requirement can even claim to prevent is voter impersonation fraud. Well, we've never had a case of that in Missouri. In fact, as an American, you are more likely to be struck by lightning than you are to commit voter impersonation fraud. And despite that, they work very hard to spend lots of taxpayer dollars to do this, and it's all just a fiction.
So, Jason Kander, as we mentioned, you lost your Senate race in Missouri, but you've also been called a rising star in the Democratic Party. What are you thinking as you watch what's happening with the Trump White House right now? We've just had the Labor Secretary nominee withdraw his name for that position, Michael Flynn resigning, and we're already talking about potential congressional investigations of the White House.
Well, I think we're way behind on that. I think that if this were President Hillary Clinton, the Congress would be acting a lot faster. And if Hillary Clinton had done the things that President Donald Trump has done, they would be absolutely right to do so. Here's just one fact from the last week that I think has really gone overlooked. Given the timeline of when the Department of Justice informed the president that General Flynn was vulnerable to potential blackmail by the Russians, and given when he resigned, that means that weeks went by where the president allowed someone to have complete and total access to American intelligence at the very top of the American intelligence network. He could see anything he wants, knowing that that individual was vulnerable to blackmail by the Russians. That is an undisputed fact. And that is just one of the many reasons why the 54% of Americans who voted for somebody not named Donald Trump to be president, you know, voted the way they did. And yet he's come into office and is governing and acting as though he has this sweeping mandate. And I think that's a real error on his part. And most importantly, it's bad for the country.
So what should Democrats do?
Continue to do what we're doing. And I think the important thing here is the movement against the president, sort of what some people call the resistance, so to speak, it's not coming from Washington, which is important because if you think back on it, there's not a lot of movements in the history of this country that started in Washington and were effective. You know, I'm here in the middle of the country in Kansas City. It's where I live. And the day of the Women's March, I went down to the march in Kansas City and people came up to me, they recognized me, and they came up to me and they'd tell me that this was the first thing they'd ever done politically in their lives. They'd never stuffed an envelope, they'd never made a phone call, but they had to be there the day after the inauguration. Something is happening. And what's happening is that it is a people-powered movement of folks who are saying, you made promises in the election, and 54% of us said we didn't want those to happen, and you're acting as though it was a completely different scenario rather than trying to reach out and be president of the entire country.
What's next for you? And is it possible that you will challenge Democrat Claire McCaskill, who's up for re-election in 2018?
Well, first of all, no, that's not possible. Claire is my friend, and I'll definitely be working hard to make sure she's re-elected. She's doing a great job. As to the rest of your question, I'm doing what I'm going to be doing. I mean, making sure that we fight back against a president that is actively working to undermine confidence and faith in American democracy is really important, and it deserves my attention. And that's where I'm going to be spending my time for the moment.
Have you thought about what you might run for in the future, though?
No, I really am not. You know, anytime I've ever had my name on a ballot, it has been because there was a change that I wanted to see. And between me and making that change happen, there happened to be an office. You know, I'm a person who believes in doing something, not in being something. And right now I'm working very hard and have been throughout my career working on doing something. And if ever again there's a point where there's an office between me and accomplishing the change that I want to see, then I might run. But that's not something that I'm thinking about.
Have you thought about who should lead the Democratic National Committee?
I have talked with several of them, had lunch or other meetings with several of them, and I think we got some great candidates.
But you haven't picked one?
I have not. There's some real good people, though. I think we're going to be in good hands.
That's Jason Kander, who is the former Secretary of State in Missouri, former Senate candidate, and now has started this group, Let America Vote. We'll link you to more about that at hearandnow.org. Jason, thank you.
Thank you so much.